We move into the 3 o'clock hour here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Beautiful Sunday afternoon. And earlier today I was mentioning that Phyllis George, who was, I call her a pioneer, a trailblazer, someone I looked up to in this business, and she passed away yesterday at the age of 70. She was a Miss America. She later became, was hired to be on the set of the NFL Today back in 1975. And that was knocking down a door for many of us, for sure. Leslie Visser, a longtime veteran sportscaster, joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Leslie, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it. How are you today?
Oh, gee, I'm great. And it's lousy that we have not connected recently enough because, you know, I think you are a descendant of some of the doors that Phyllis opened. I mean, I was just talking to someone about you the other day that, you know, you've done play-by-play and hosting and sideline and color. And, you know, she would have rooted for you. That's who she was.
I so appreciate you saying that. Leslie, but you know, because when I was just getting started and my second job, but it was early in New York, I used to get to see you and Jeannie and a bunch of the people who were in all parts of the sports industry, not just in front of the camera. And it was inspirational to me. But when did you cross paths with Phyllis George?
Yeah, I had the privilege of knowing her for quite a long time and more than a little. I first met her, the Boston Globe made me the first woman to cover the NFL as a beat. And in 1976, I know, hard to believe that the Patriots had one good year back then, but they did until they became, you know, now they're the gold standard or were the gold standard till, of course, the Eagles beat them.
Right, exactly.
But in 1976, I was the beat writer, and she came to do a story for the NFL Today, and she is exactly what you would imagine. She just oozed friendliness. I mean, everybody, myself included, was just infatuated. She was kind. She was generous to everyone, you know, from everyone, the players to the ball boys to everyone in the media. And she never treated herself like a celebrity.
It was interesting because a lot of people wrote many nice things about her on social media, Brent Musburger, Hannah Storm. But one of the things I read that Hannah had said, a lot of times when you're dreaming of something as a career option, you have to see it in order to believe it's possible for you to do. And somebody has to be the first to show you that. And that was Phyllis. I know for me, if I hadn't seen people like you, Phyllis, Gail Gardner was another one for me, I maybe wouldn't have thought it was possible either. Did you feel like we all were looking at you guys and making that possible for us to achieve?
I accept the mantle now because I've had the, you know, the opportunity to be the first so many times. But no, I think, and think of yourself, Dee, when you were young, you're kind of protected by your innocence. And I just love sports. I mean, I somewhat famously, when my mother asked me at 10 years old, what would you like to do? And I said, I want to be a sports writer, which, of course, the job did not exist for women in 1963. And instead of saying, oh, you know, I'm sure you ran into this too, Dee, instead of my mom saying, oh, you can't do that, you know, women are teachers or domestics or nurses, she said to me, that's great. Sometimes you have to cross when it says don't walk. So I'm not sure for people like Phyllis or myself, you know, or Gail that, you know, we imagined it ourselves without having a role model. But I am enormously thankful that the evolution has come to people like you, where a young woman now can grow up and say, hey, I want to do play-by-play. I want to be sideline. I want to write. I want to own a team. So it's really an evolution, and Phyllis was a standard for that. She got on there. She mixed it up with actually the Greek introduced
yes.
John Y. Brown.
That's right.
So it was really, and you know, especially working in Boston, and I kept in touch with her quite a bit over the years. But you know, the Celtics, the old Boston Garden. I mean, you lived that life yourself.
Oh yeah.
And when she was John Y.'s fiance, when he owned the team there for that stretch, she would she would be in Boston Garden, and honestly, you'd think Princess Grace of Monaco. Really, it was that, it was. I mean, Boston Garden, you know, she's pushing red smoke out of the way, and, you know, she just everybody, she was beloved.
Because I have you on here and knowing, and I always like to remind people that, you know, your writing was what I knew of you first before you were on TV. But we're getting a little bit of going back in time watching The Last Dance. And I have so enjoyed, because even when you brought up Red Auerbach and his smoke, like the things that were once allowed, right? Even seeing Jordan smoking cigars, you know, on the way to a game or something. Have you enjoyed the docuseries? And if so, how?
I really believe, and I was, you know, I don't know, I've had this insane career, but I covered, you know, all the, obviously the Celtics of the 80s, and it was, I really believe, and then Jordan early in the 90s, I'd gone to CBS by then, and CBS had, you know, the...
Had
the
NBA, right.
So, yeah, so I really sort of lived, and I really think the NBA of the 80s might have been really... well, the Celtics had their, of course, their glorious run, but it was such a time of national observation of those 80s, and it was such a different time in the media. I mean, certainly you and obviously your dad had a completely different life. Like at that time, I remember Jack Nicholson would be on the flights, the same flights that the media took, you know, to LA, and he'd have fun with everybody, and then he'd put a black jacket over his head and go to sleep. And, you know, it was a time where Bird would challenge a writer in the, you know, early in the warm-ups, that Bird, he would bet somebody $1, and if wherever he shot from, if you said he could make it or not, then you had to give him $1. And as you know, Larry was very, was careful with his money. So
yes,
he wasn't giving it back, you know, but it was a time that, you actually got to know the athletes on such a different level. And, you know, you can make the argument that the 86 Celtics were the greatest team. Maybe greatest team ever.
I agree with you 100%. It's interesting because it was probably last fall, and Jackie McMullen had come to cover a Sixers practice, and we were standing, and you have to stand in a corner. You're not allowed to like just walk around the baseline and watch practice. You actually stand in one corner, and they bring people to a microphone. And Jackie says, "Is it always like this?" And I said, "This is what it has become." And I think it's kind of, I miss the relationships that you used to be able to get. And social media has changed. They feel like that's not getting to know a person in the same way. Do you cherish that you came in a time where you actually got to know people that you covered?
Yes, I mean, and you too. I remember, you know, I'd go in and, because it was the network doing the playoffs, I'd go in and say hello to Michael Jordan, and he would have his Hoya de Monterey there, you know, and it was just, you know, it was normal. It was, I can remember, one of the Laker playoffs, and all of us were staying in the same hotel, and Pat Riley, you'd have lunch with him by the pool. It was just such a different, you know, and the same with you. Like, you were close to Iverson, and, you know, you'd do stories that now nobody could get near. And, you know, even the press seats, certainly from when I started in print, you know, those go for thousands of dollars now at courtside. So, yeah, it's a different world, and, I'm sure people covering as a beat now have elements of it that are better, different than we had. But I really think the NBA in the 80s and the early 90s through Jordan, it was glorious to cover.
Leslie, did you prefer the football versus covering the NBA versus all the difference? Did you have a preference?
You know, I kind of was, whatever the season was, I've now been at 37 Super Bowls and about 35 Final Fours and 15 Wimbledons, but I would say my very favorite day of the year is the semifinals of the Final Four.
Right.
That people still ask me, you know, why I do what I do, and I say Villanova 66, Georgetown 64. I think, you know, you've been around it so much yourself, like, should we talk about beating DePaul when St. Joe's beat DePaul?
Sure. I love that you would know that. I do hear you about the Saturday, though, of the Final Four weekend, though that semifinals is awesome, setting the stage.
Yeah, and it also is, it's four teams in the same building, four fan bases, that every single one has a chance, and it's been proven that every single one of those teams does have a chance. And nice. I really think nothing delivers on its promise like the NCAA tournament, at least in my experience. I just, what did we know for a long time of Gonzaga or Butler? And then all of a sudden, you know, it might be that they're playing one shining moment for them.
Right.
I always tease Jimmy Larrañaga that, you know, we always thought George Mason wrote the Bill of Rights.
That's pretty good. I like that. I know, which is why to not have the NCAA tournament this past year was really, I mean, that was really the first that got canceled, meaning the rest of these teams or leagues have hope that it'll resume. But the NCAA tournament, that's gone.
Yeah, it's because it was coming up next.
Yes.
You know, and so it was, and, you know, I'm still with CBS. It's an enormous, as you'd imagine. And you know this too, the network is the third part of the stool, right? There are
yes.
the two teams and then the network. And so, you know, it was enormous. But I have to say, Sean McManus, you know him, of course.
Yes.
He has been such a leader, chairman of CBS Sports. All they care about is the health of all the employees, of anybody, everyone, you know, to do anything is tested all the time. Jim Nance even doing, you know, Zooms from his house if
yep.
maybe he were close to someone. So I really admire, and I think everyone's being pretty careful. You know, most leagues are being very, very careful, and you know, the virus is going to tell us
yep.
what's happening.
Absolutely. Well, Leslie, I appreciate your time so much. I do miss you, and stay
yeah.
safe, stay healthy. And I'll look for you back when networks get covering sports again.
Please do. Love to you and love to your family. Thanks, Steve.
I appreciate it, Leslie. Thank you for joining us here in 97.5 The Fanatic on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. That's a wealth of knowledge from a long time covering sports, for sure. And I did know that she still was doing the NCAA tournament because I remember last year for sure. But Leslie Visser, Phyllis George, and again, Phyllis George passed away yesterday at the age of 70. But she was on the NFL Today. And then she later actually did move into news and was on CBS Morning News for a while. A short while, I should say. But nice to catch up with Leslie Visser. And if you're, you know, young, I invite you to go and look at some of the, you could Google, but Phyllis George, Leslie Visser, Gail Gardner, Hannah Storm, still on, you know, ESPN. She would have been after those guys, those original women that I mentioned. But it wasn't the norm. And, you know, so to be the only one often in covering a team, a league, you know, it was different. But now, look, we have people all over the place like me and having conversations and going back in the day. There you go. That was fun. And also fun to hear when people talk about that she is right about those Celtics teams. And I know that we're in Philadelphia, but that 86 team, I don't know why a couple weeks back we were talking about that. I mean, there were four Hall of Famers on that team. I hope I'm not leaving anybody off, but Bird, McHale, Parrish. I'm leaving somebody off. I'll have to get the roster, but that 86 team was, and I do think that that's another GOAT conversation that happens. And it's the 86 Celtics team, going, I know I've seen it challenging like a Bulls, probably the Bulls team that won 70. And again, when you're going in different eras, and then because when the Warriors had the better record than that Bulls team, which had the best record of all time, then that gets in the conversation. But it might not be just about the record. That 86 team was something, one for the ages, I should say. I did see something that just popped up on my phone going back to The Last Dance, and I realized that it did tease us at the end of last week that series between the Bulls and the Pacers. I don't believe we got to see how that went down. I think it ended. So we should see that in episode 9. And then 10 obviously has to get into the jazz. And I'll also be interested in seeing who these final interviews that we see. I'm assuming we'll have, I know we have John Stockton because Mike Tolan said that was one of his last interviews that he got in before the pandemic was catching up with Stockton. So he's for sure in there. Oh, Dennis Johnson. Rest in peace, that guy. 610-632-0975. Right at the same time, Tyler, my husband texted me, DJ.
Google's a great thing, isn't it?
Well, he knew it off the top of his head. Yes, because
I had to Google it.
Yeah, right. And I knew as I was rattling them off, I knew I was leaving somebody off. Let's check in with Dave in Center City. Dave, thank you for calling the Fanatic. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to watch the Darlington NASCAR race.
Oh, good. I thought it was at noon. It's not till 4?
No, 3:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a huge NASCAR fan, so there's so many intangibles at work at this race.
I know. Well, first of all, no practice laps.
Yeah, there's nothing. The car is unloaded.
Yep.
They get into the vehicle, and the race begins. The track is very abrasive. It's very narrow. This could be a recipe for a real smash-up derby. Nonetheless, I'm tired of watching virtual reality sports, internet sports. This is so refreshing to see.
Of course. All right, because you are a fan, I'm going to ask you, because when I read the no practice laps, and you know, these people haven't been in their cars since March 8th.
All they have is notes from last year to go on, and that is as useless as you know what on a board.
Wow.
Yeah. I fell asleep. I missed the Paul Westhead when he came on. You know, you go back to Paul Westhead, right?
Yes.
When he was a coach at LaSalle, Darrell Gladden could not shoot a free throw. He was worse than Wilt Chamberlain and Shaq O'Neal combined. When Paul got through with him mentally, psychologically, and physically, Darrell Gladden became a 90% free throw shooter.
I was not aware of that name, but I'll trust you on it.
But I don't like, you know, Magic grease the way in the following year for Paul's exodus out of the Lakers.
I read an article. I didn't bring that up yesterday, but I read an article.
No.
Yeah, I read an article. This was amazing, and I would be fascinated to go and look at his teams. But they actually thought that he played too slow of a style of basketball. And you know the irony in that is because he would then go on to coach Loyola Marymount, and all they did was run up and down.
Yeah, and his Loyola Marymount experiment in the NBA, he had the right idea. He just had the wrong pieces.
And being in Denver at that altitude might not have been right either.
No, and I mean, they were losing games 162 to 128.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, oh God, it backfired. But that was the knowledge that Paul coached the WNBA Phoenix Mercury.
Yes, with Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, Phyllis George, formerly Miss Kentucky, married John Y. Brown. We left someone out. Remember Jane Kennedy?
I did. I didn't want to. I knew that she was on there. She actually got the job behind after Phyllis was first. Jane was second. The only reason I didn't mention that name in those because she didn't stay as long as Phyllis and Leslie to me, and Gail Gardner. But I absolutely remember Jane Kennedy. You're not going to believe what I remember. Jane Kennedy, and I felt bad for her, and I remember watching this as a kid when she read a score and she put the losing, remember?
Knicks 97, Sixers 104 final score.
Right.
Yeah, that is bad.
So, anyhow, but yes, I'm glad you reminded me that I kind of purposely had left it off.
Yeah, so what are they doing with the NBA? Are they in any type of playoff posture yet? Obviously, the regular season's lost or no?
No, I mean, not that they have publicly said they know exactly what they're doing. I think that there is more being said behind closed doors. Obviously, the biggest thing this week was the expiration of the CBA, only because of in a pandemic, it has 60 days. And they pushed or extended, however you want to, it pushed the deadline till September. So that's the most I know. But I think when you are talking about like making sure that stays in place, it's that you're talking because you want to, you know, you want to play some part of your season.
All right, I got to ask a question.
Okay.
It's a question that needs to be asked.
Yes, sir.
You probably can answer this. What happens when we get back to all four sports, God forbid, if a player tests positive?
Well, that's, Dave, that's what's on everybody's mind.
And well, what's going to happen?
Oh, well, I can tell you what they say in the soccer league in Germany. You shut it down. Now,
yeah.
They've had people who tested positive, and they sent them to self-quarantine before their games yesterday, meaning it didn't happen yesterday, and they'll reschedule that match. And then everybody else had tested negative. So we'll see basically that commissioner has said if numbers spike, then they have to shut it down.
So they got a plan B.
Yeah, and I appreciate the phone call, Dave. And the UFC has done similar in terms of, you know, I didn't see this week's testing numbers. They didn't make that a big deal, but obviously they did the week before the first set of fights. And those numbers I thought were pretty good. Out of 1,200, there were only three that tested positive, and they weren't all fighters, so... 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's about 3:30 on this Sunday afternoon. I am Dee Lynam. Tyler Zuli with me, other side of the glass. We'll be with you until 4 o'clock, and Rob Motti comes in after that. He'll keep you company until 8 o'clock on this Sunday, and of course, everything gets started with the morning show Monday morning. So I was watching in the background there of the Skins game, I think where I saw... It really could use like a graphic that says where they are in terms of the Skins. I saw on Twitter, I believe Rory McIlroy got one of the holes. It must have rolled over and he ended up with 150,000. The 1 through 6, I believe, were worth 20,000 each. And then 7 through 15 maybe were 50,000 each. And then I know it goes 100,000 for 16, 200 for 17, and 500 for 18. But I was curious because I had seen where people said, you know, obviously Rory knows the course the best. And the reason being is that Rory, yes, he lives in Florida, but he's not a member, but his dad is a member at Seminole. And so he has played it. Obviously, with his father. And again, it is a match for charity, driving relief. Two teams, Roy McIlroy and Dustin Johnson versus Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolf. And Matthew Wolf is first year on the PGA Tour. He has already won an event, and he is the 2019 NCAA champion. So that's going on right now. And then I was under the impression, I don't know where I got that, I thought at noon was supposed to be the NASCAR, but it's actually at 3:30. So that will be interesting to see them race at Darlington Speedway in South Carolina. Two live sporting events happening. Who'd have thunk it? And I had this, I went to Twitter and a gentleman asked me a question that he's watching an old game, and an AI game. And I was a sideline reporter and he's curious of what, if D stands for anything, meaning shortened. it does. Now, it's funny because a lot of people, I get everything. You know my real name, Tyler? I know we've talked about middle names.
Yeah, I mean, based on what some of our callers call you, I'd assume your real name is Denise.
Oh, that's right. Occasionally, we do have somebody who calls me Denise.
That was my assumption. I didn't want to. I didn't want to be wrong, but that's my.
That is absolutely correct. All of a sudden, I'm trying to remember your middle name because we had a whole conversation about this, and it was a really good middle name.
Funny, real quick, funny thing about my middle name. So it's a family name, runs in the family. That every guy that was born on that particular side of my family, with the exception of my brother,
has the same middle name?
No, mine's the middle name. Oh. Almost every other one
has
a first
that name. Why? And what? Do you remember why we had that conversation? Maybe we were doing something.
Yeah, I forget what we were talking about.
It was definitely about middle names.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that came up. All right, go ahead.
Well, and actually, that's not true. I should say that now there's two. One of the younger ones.
A young one.
Is not. So it's Charles.
Charles.
Yes. So now there is two. It's my brother. It does not have a Charles affinity or affirmation, I guess.
Yes.
And one of the younger ones.
And you say it's family name. So was somebody that their first name, Charles?
That's most of them. It's their first
name.
Their first
name.
I was not Charles. Yeah, so they went with the middle name.
I got you. Nice. So anyhow, I think the gentleman who sent me that, Andrew. Yes, Denise. Andrew it is. And Denise is what that stands for. And I want to say, not until I never, ever wrote anything. You know how when you're in school, you have to write your name at the top of all your assignments and then you have to sign your name. I never, ever wrote anything but Denise all through, even in college, even though nobody called me that except for my grandmother. But I never signed the name D. And then obviously, I guess, at some point, because when I was now doing TV, then my name becomes, you know, people, you can make it what people call you. Denise didn't seem like me either.
So are you still, you're still like legally Denise, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So like documents and stuff like that?
Yes. But that you're bringing me to my point that you would get a check, like if you did freelance, and it'd be made out to D. And so there was a point that I had to go and have both at my bank so that I could deposit either. Because generally speaking, you think like I'd been there since college that they'd say, well, you know, they know it's me. But I had one time where they said, this doesn't match. And I'm like, but it's me. So that's when I legally had a. I didn't do anything. I mean, my name is still Denise. And that was the other reason I always kept my last name as Lynam. There was no hyphenating. There was no, probably much to the dismay of my in-laws. But as I say.
That's actually a much more common thing now, too.
Like, just keep your name.
As it moves on. Yeah. And I've said that to my fiance multiple times. Yeah. I'm like, hey, listen, when we get married, if it, you know, professionally is easier for you, documentation and all that to keep your life, do what you want to do.
Exactly.
We're married. You and I know we're married.
Right.
What, it doesn't matter to me.
I just wasn't going to change my name by that point. It just didn't seem. But my kids have the last name. They don't have. Well, my one has my. I think I did say that in our middle names. I kept the Lynam name in the family because I made it the middle name for my oldest son.
It's a good way to do it.
Yeah. I had never heard of that, but there are a lot of people who do their mother's maiden name is the middle name of a child just to keep it kind of in the family, so to speak. So the same kind of thing, like a family name. Some of them sound better than the other. Like I think my brother-in-law, I love his name. It's Colin McKay Riviere. I mean, it has some substance to it.
Yeah, it's one that could be both. Yeah.
Yeah, you know? So, All right, so tonight I have the rest of my day planned out. Go for a walk on a golf course, and then going to watch The Last Dance tonight. I recorded the golf. I probably should have. I'll check out the NASCAR, but I think I could. I'll settle for just seeing what some of those highlights look like. But it's all interesting for sure. Because that's more than we've had. Oh, I did watch. I knew there was two things I wanted to share, Tyler. One is, and NASCAR is reminding me, that a number, including the Pocono Raceway, Speedway, there are a number of speedways around the country that are allowing seniors, high school seniors, to come to their speedway. You walk to get your diploma, and then you get in. Unfortunately, you have to do it in your car. They're not giving you a NASCAR. And
that would be cool.
I know. That's what I said. That would be the ultimate. But and then there's somebody that's going to be out in front to control the, but it's going to be at a pretty good speed. And you get to do what they are calling a victory lap. And I thought it was only at the Indianapolis Speedway, but then I found... I might still have it there. I know the Pocono one is absolutely on the list. And I thought, that's nice. People are really trying. They feel bad because you don't get to go to a graduation. And, you know, so how can we do something that will make it stand out or be a little unique? And this was one of the ideas that they came up with. Let's see. I know we have Indianapolis definitely on it. In Texas... Texas Motor Speedway. I didn't know this, but they call the so down there, families will be allowed on the infield to watch their graduates receive diplomas in Victory Lane on the circuit's green, giant screen that's nicknamed the Big Hoss. And, you know, that's the Texas Motor Speedway's way of doing it. But there's a whole list of different, speedways around the country that, but obviously when one did it, then others decided, oh, we could do that. And so it's just a little spin on being able to have something special for their graduation. That, and last night I watched an episode of a show that was a drama. It's a law, one of those court TV shows, that the entire episode, because all these episodes or all these series have come to the end of what they had filmed before the pandemic or shot before the pandemic shut-in went in place. But this one, they shot the entire thing through Zoom conversations back and forth and did the whole script. And it was fascinating to me. The choreography alone of being able to do it, and it's, like parts of it were the, well, one was they had a trial, and the two people, the guy who was being tried, then the defendant, the prosecutor, a witness, the judge, and this was all happening and talking as if, those court shows usually in the courtroom, but it was pretty cool.
So did they incorporate the pandemic or the Zoom into the storyline, or
they said that because basically they say, oh my God, our work is stacking up, and the judge, I don't know who would be politically above the judge,
sure,
somebody, right, that person basically said you need to do this if the client signed off, the guy who was in jail, because his trial kept getting pushed back, and obviously he's saying he didn't do it. And the woman said, his lawyer, what are you going to do? And so this woman said to the judge, you got to make this work, because if we are waiting for this to end, our workload is going to be so backed up. And people who are in jail waiting for that date, we're now going to get sued or whatever. There's going to be ramifications.
Right, because of the right to a quick trial.
Correct. And so I thought not only was the premise good, because it makes you realize the things that are happening, because of the pandemic, the backup of that, the health in jails became part of the storyline. And I thought they did a great job. It was I don't watch the series regularly, but I'll go back and watch now. But it was called All Rise. So anyhow, I will be interested to see if other shows, and you're limited for because the background of every person in Zoom, you know, kind of worked for this. But I don't know if you could do it. It was interesting. 610-632-0975. We have one more segment with you before Rob Motti takes over. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sunday afternoon here at 97.5 The Fanatic. I am Dee Lynam along with Tyler Zoli. And finally, Tyler, I got an update on the Skins game. So the top guy, Rory McIlroy, who's ranked number one in the world, and Dustin Johnson are up $200,000 on Ricky Fowler and Wolf. And they just completed the seventh hole.
They're playing for charity, right?
Yes,
okay,
yes, yes.
Okay. I was going to say, that's a nice purse to bring in for a four-player event.
No, the money's definitely going to charity. It's the team that has the most money at the end is the winner. And they both started with a pot that was equal to $500,000. I mean, not all four. Each team had that. And there was not a skin one on the seventh, so that rolls over. I did not see if there would have been a rollover prior. I know on one hole that Rory birdied was worth 150 earlier in the match. So that much I know. Pretty fun. Kind of cool to watch. And they are all carrying their bag. I know that the push cart was available. I told you yesterday. And I knew. My mother says to me on the phone, she says, I'd use the push cart.
So would I. Is it like a pride thing? Because, like, maybe I don't have any pride and that's why, but, like, I don't know. I'm trying to reserve my energy for actually playing.
Well, yes, it is a bit of a pride thing. So there is nobody with the push cart. They're all carrying their own bag. And now I'm told, though I can't, it doesn't really seem like it, but supposedly, they got rain overnight, 3 inches of rain and a lot of wind, but that probably is why it doesn't say it probably dried it out, but it makes it, those were the conditions I was told.
I'd imagine from the tropical storm that's going through.
Is that, I'm not good with the weather. It looks beautiful though. It's meaning I do see what you're saying now. Wow, what a nice piece of property. I want to remind everybody that during this global pandemic, there are those on the front lines who are helping to keep our community safe. They are doctors, nurses, educators, and so many more. They are our health heroes. Is there one in your life that you would like us to recognize? Go to 975thefanatic.com. Right now, nominate someone special to you. Check out our webpage, our social media pages, and listen to our air every day to see if your health hero is the one that we selected to be highlighted. Each day this coming week, the health hero we nominate will receive a $50 gift card from Dietz & Watson, premium meats, artisan cheeses, and your local ShopRite market for pickup order online at ShopRite.com. Our health heroes program is being made possible by our great friends at Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers, doing whatever they can to keep you and your family comfortable at home. Go to NoPrayBryant.com to find an expert Bryant dealer in your area who can help you make sure your air conditioning system is working properly. We are all in this together. This is 97.5 The Fanatic. So we absolutely encourage you to do that. All right, it's been pretty good afternoon so far. I'm just making sure we finish touching on all that we set out to do. One of the things I did have to, I got to see, I mean, I'm out on the tour, so it's probably only for special people, but I love when they just took the shot of Ricky Fowler and his putt, and his name, Ricky, is in the groove of the putter. Wouldn't that be cool? No, maybe I would put Denise on there so it wouldn't be like anybody know it's
the personalized gear.
Yeah.
That'd be very cool.
It would be. Yes.
Yeah, I always wanted to get to the playing point where I could stitch my glove, my name into my glove.
There you go. That's another good one. I wouldn't do that because I go through gloves too fast.
I mean in my baseball glove.
Oh.
Yeah, that one lasts a lot longer.
Yes, much. You can do that. You play enough. Don't you still play?
I mean, up until last summer, I played pretty competitively, yeah. Regularly. Yeah, I should have done it.
Yes.
I think my playing time's pretty much come to an end, competitively.
Yes, I understand that part. Definitely. Anyhow, I just thought that was cool, and I must not pay enough attention, because I'm sure there are others who must have their name in that. All right, so tonight definitely will be... The Last Dance. I'm just seeing this across. I feel so honored that BJ joined us, because I'm seeing that there's an after party tonight, and he USA Today is putting on, and BJ Armstrong's going to be part of the after party. So that's great. We had him as pre-party. I guess we called it our pre-party touch or check-in with BJ Armstrong. I want to thank BJ Armstrong, formerly of the Chicago Bulls and a good friend from back in the day for me, and also Leslie Visser for joining us this afternoon. Leslie helping us remember Phyllis George, who passed away yesterday at the age of 70, but certainly was one of the originals who, in terms of making women not only be able to have a job in the sports broadcasting industry at the highest level, being on the NFL Today Show, but also doing it well and doing it with class. And she really did have such a nice personality. So Leslie helped us remember that, and I appreciate them both. So next week we will be back, and we can see if we're any further along in terms of baseball and basketball, and in terms of having a plan moving forward. And I think with every passing week, the fact that UFC still happened last night, by the way, I had a friend who texted me, because you know how I feel about not doing the pay-per-view thing, that they texted me of somebody who had it on Periscope and was, I could watch, I didn't do it early enough, but I saw some of it. It's similar to boxing. People did that with the boxing matches.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't condone it, but there are ways to find it without, you know,
right,
paying for it.
Right. Anyhow, I mean, I'm not condoning it either. I hope that didn't come across like that. But with that, that was another weekend of UFC being able to have fights. So, and then we'll see. Soccer will continue next week. And you can bet that all eyes are looking in that direction. And then in terms of the United States, it's really about seeing how some of these reopened states, how they make it through this week. And where are the numbers? And that will certainly go a long way in maybe further determining what the sports world is able or capable of doing. So I'm sure there'll be news on that front. And next week will also be Memorial Day weekend. So we'll keep an eye on the Jersey Shore, too, Tyler. Tyler, are we back together next
yes,
week?
Yes, I'll be back with you on Saturday and Sunday.
Perfect. Are we the same time?
I think so. I'll double check, but
all
I believe
right, but
so.
But we're definitely together. All right. So, Tyler, thank you so much for all your hard work, good work. And thank you to the callers out there. We do appreciate your stories and calling in and the conversation. And thanks for listening. We appreciate that as well. I hope you have a great week, great rest of your Sunday, and we'll come back and do it all again next week on Saturday and Sunday. Coming up next, it is Rob Motti, and thank you for listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.